What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 5th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Happy Friday, everyone. We had a small slate of games yesterday. Yes, we experienced an earthquake here in New York City. I was live streaming when that happened, and it was a rumble, and they just kept going, and I've never experienced an earthquake before. That was wild. I hope everybody is okay. Seth Lugo is also okay. 6.2 innings of one-earned run. But is he enough to actually be on your fantasy teams? It was 8 hits, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts, just 4 whiffs and 24% CSW. He did well against a poor offense against the White Sox. He is really a Toby. And I don't want people to think, oh man, Seth Lugo, 1 run, 6.2 innings. You are going to be this consistent producer throughout the entire year. Do not hold on too tight. He's going to have some good games, some bad games. You should feel good that he had this weird one where he threw a lot of bad pitches and did not get punished enough for it. Honestly, only 8 hits, yes, but really he got bailed out a good amount. Don't feel like you need to hold on to Seth Lugo. He should absolutely be one of those burn and churn guys, and he should be playing the matchups a lot with Seth Lugo. Matt Manning showed up, 5.2 innings of 0 earned runs and 0 hits, a no-hit bid, and 4 walks and 3 Ks and 90 pitches. Pretty awesome to see that when he got demoted to the minors and he came back and did this. But 4 walks, not great. And he gained more IVB on his heater, which is wonderful. He just doesn't have quite as, as flat of an angle on that four-seamer. Just 2 out of 41 whiffs now. And the thing with Matt Manning is that he's going back to the minors after this. So we should obviously be paying attention about Matt Manning. Actually, I should report his flat four-seamer is still very much intact. I have the numbers now in front of me. He gained 3 inches of IVB and actually has a flatter four-seamer. That's actually really, really cool. It's a better four-seamer now across the board, even though it is about the same velocity. So I guess not across the board, no lack of extension. That is something you should 100% be paying attention to when he does arrive again. But his locations were not very good. It was more of a scatter shot for that four-seamer. And that is the biggest area of improvement for Manning. Hopefully he also gets to 94-95 when he does return from the minors. But if this is legitimate, if this actually is okay, you are a flat four-seamer now, you have 18 to 19 inches of induced vertical break, which is 95th percentile among all starting pitchers four-seamers, which is amazing. Matt Manning does become someone that could get more than 2 out of 41 whiffs. It's really a product of where he located them yesterday, but only 12.5% ICR, and he deserved that low hit per nine of 0 yesterday. He didn't deserve all that, but you know what I mean. Hit luck was -2, I guess, on that pitch. But yeah, Matt Manning is very intriguing now. Just please give me just like a little more velocity and a little bit better command on that four seamer. And when you do get that opportunity, because you are the SP6 for the Tigers, I will be picking him up. I really hope that. Yeah, he makes those changes because that's very, very exciting. Jose Buda was on the other side of this doubleheader getting the call up for just that game. He's going to go back to the minors now. 6 innings of 1 run, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. Actually, I should note, maybe he doesn't. And I incorrectly hinted that he wouldn't because of Tyler McGill is hurt with this shoulder injury. Or we don't know how long he's going to be out for, or, you know, where we're there. So maybe Jose Buda does show up, and I don't love it. I feel like he's a matchup dependent guy. He could be solid for matchups. So keep that in mind for Jose Buda. If he does get that rotation spot for the Mets, see what the schedule is like for him. It would be, you know, it's at the end of it with Jose Quintana going now. So he could be the SP5 replacing McGill, something to at least to be aware of moving forward, but I'm not super, super into it. And Christian Scott is really the guy that when the Mets call him up, you should be aware, because Christian Scott gets all the whiffs. Four seamers are great. Sweeper is solid. I do wonder a little bit more about lefties, but Christian Scott, the second he comes up, you should be grabbing him in your 12 teamers. Tanner Bibee got the golden goal, 17 whiffs and 33% CSW. It's not a great night, so a golden goal is a little bit easier to attain. I mean, a 33% CSW should not win the King Cole on a given night. But there you go. 17 whiffs, so understandable. 5.1 innings of 1 earned run, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts for Tanner Bibee. A couple things to note. Velocity is still down for Tanner Bibee. It's at least a tick, if not 2. which isn't fun at all for a four seamer that I think just is not that great. However, it does have more IVB, and it has, that's a big deal because he's getting more rise on it. It means that it is negating some of the horrifically bad attack angle that Bybee has. We're talking like 10th percentile underneath that even, where it is very steep, which means that it is matching the bat path upstairs where Tanner Bybee goes all the time. Bybee, to me, should not be throwing high four-seamers. He should be throwing low four-seamers because that means he would get more called strikes on it. It's very steep, and people think, or batters would think it would be going out of the zone, and it's not. It's staying up long enough because he has the IVB on it, and that would allow him to get more called strikes on this. Why is that important? Because he has a really good slider and changeup. Those got all these whiffs. Those each had a 40% plus CSW. They weren't even the best located ones. It was just like randomly around the zone and not really surgically taking down batters. But those are going to be good enough as long as the fastball does not get laced. And it is getting laced right now. It is a very low sample, but there have been 12 balls in play from Tanner Bybee's four-seamer this season. 11 of them have been ideal contact. Right? That's not good. He's not inducing weak contact at all with this four-seamer, once out of 12 times in play. That is such a small sample, I understand, but also, you don't see that. You know, if you want to say it's 50-50, that's 50, you know, that's 11 heads and one tails, come on, right? It's not just pure luck there. So, I think that that would be the shift for Tanner Bybee that would actually get me very excited, honestly. And he's not commanding the four-seamer terribly, he's actually doing the stay verty thing that he says on his hat and his glove. I can never remember which one it is. I think it's the glove. That's just the wrong approach. I mean, stay vertical with everything, but you want to be low on it. Like, you want to be focused on the vertical axis versus the horizontal axis. That's fine, but you don't want to actually be up on that four seam. I know it's kind of crazy, but he's the perfect example of where he is leaning into the shape of his four seamer incorrectly. And I wonder if that's on his radar or not. Ryan Weathers against the Cardinals, 5 innings of 1 earned run, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts. By the way, this is the most excited I've been about Tanner Bybee for ages, which might sound weird because it's lower velocity, but because of the extra IVB, there's now finally a path to me that Bybee could be good with that four-seamer. And that all of a sudden goes, oh. And also, it's a very good defense behind him. So anyway, Ryan Weathers did well against the Cardinals today. It was very good to see. He moved away from the changeup in this one, after we saw that that was easily his primary secondary pitch, which is one of my favorite phrases, primary secondary. And understandably so, because he only had 46% strikes on it, but it essentially was just not put in play, like, or made contact with, so it was a 42% CSW. But same thing with the slider, the sweeper, just the, like, a 48% strike rate with a 42% CSW. So both of these pitches, like, weren't put into play at all or made contact with, no foul balls. And he just got tons of strikes with those, and then everything else was really the fastball, which is up to 96. And it was generally elevated, and that's good, and he has good, it's a decent pitch shape. It's not like this one, oh my gosh, this is an amazing one, but it's solid. So as long as a changeup or sweeper are becoming really reliable pitches, which they are, and again, under 50% strike rate, then Weathers, I could see this working out. But I gotta say, over the years, 2 years of seeing Ryan Weathers, I would not call him a command guy. I think he's kind of figuring it all out a little bit still. He's not quite there. And I'm not ready to say that Ryan Weathers is going to be able to create the best version of this arsenal consistently. Is that best version the top 20 guy or something? I don't know. I don't know if it's quite there. So I'm not as encouraged chasing Ryan Weathers as others. I am going to obviously continue to pay attention. He gets the Yankees next, but I don't feel like you're going to be missing something out if you're not jumping in on Weathers. There's also the big question of the Marlins replacing 2 of their 3 guys of Max Meyer, of Trevor Rogers, of Ryan Weathers and AJ Puck when Edward Cabrera and Braxton Garrett return. I'm so sorry about Yuri Perez. It's terrible news. Baseball just does this to us. Adrian Hauser also went yesterday. I'm going to talk about him, the rest of the guys from yesterday, and of course, all of today into tomorrow's starters after this break. Adrian Hauser against the Tigers, 5 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 3 strikeouts. That sounds like an Adrian Hauser start against a very bad team that is the Tigers. So there you go. He gets the Royals next. Maybe that works. The Royals are actually, I'm sorry, it's Atlanta next for a two-step. Do not want to do that. And then he gets the Royals in the second start. And honestly, I feel like the Royals are just good enough that I wouldn't go for this two-step with Atlanta plus the Royals. It was like, again, the Tigers or something you might want to consider, but no. That Atlanta start just does not feel right. Maybe he can, honestly though, with Hauser, it's like, I don't know, this 30% chance that he can just throw fastballs over the plate and get away with it. So, whatever. Martin Perez against the Nationals. He got the win. He did exactly what you wanted him to do. And now he gets the Tigers. And I have in my soundboard the song Let It Ride, Let It Ride. That is what I would do. You're not going to hear it if I play it, so I'm not going to do that now. But yeah, you let that ride one more time for Martin Perez. You can treat it like a Vargas rule if you want, but really this is just a streaming ride because it's just about the matchups, not really Martin Perez being all that great. Michael Soroka. I almost led with him, but then Justin Paredes said Lugo Girl, which is such a fun one. And I know Lugo Girl is not really how we feel about him, but it was more of just, I imagine some people were in on Lugo like that, and I wanted to settle that, so whatever. But Michael Soroka, I want to say Michael Soroka, because he's fine. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, 2 Ks. It's nice to see that the slider is becoming more of a major part of his arsenal. That's cool, because he didn't really have that before. It was more of a just command of four-seamers and sinkers way back in the day. But he's not quite there. He doesn't have the changeup working as well. And it might take some time, or it might just be like, yeah, Soroka's whatever. So throw in the fact that he's on the White Sox, which is not a good thing when it comes to wins. It's a good thing for Leash, but I'd rather just have a guy that is a streamer for a good win team. So sorry, Soroka, not really the thing that I'm going to go for anymore. Pablo Lopez against the Guardians, 5.2 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. He just didn't really execute when he needed to. 12 whiffs here, 25% CSW. I had some thoughts about like maybe there was something nagging him, like, you know, a blister or something in the nail or whatever it is that would just affect this command, because this just wasn't good command from Pablo Lopez. But my understanding is that no, there's nothing really affecting him at the moment. There might have been something earlier on, but not here. And he's going to be fine moving forward. So cool. All right. Ace is going to be okay moving forward. We're good. Also, by the way, on a bad day like this, for it to be almost a quality start still is a huge, huge showcase of why they are an ace. Casey Mize is a big one against the Mets, and obviously not what we wanted. Threw 87 pitches, which is actually kind of good. We were like, okay, is it going to be 80? Is it going to be more than that? 87 is good. But just 4.1 innings of 300 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. He didn't have his command. And normally Casey Mize has his command, and you can throw in the fact that it was a two-day disruption. He was supposed to start on Tuesday, and he waited until Thursday, and it just kind of probably messed him up a little bit. I am so not ready to move on from Mize. He gets the Pirates next. I know the Pirates are a little bit better, but he should be much better there. He is a command guy, Casey Mize. Like, in general, you should be expecting him to be able to locate much better than he did here. The slider didn't really help nearly as much as it used to. He had some really nice splitters, by the way. But yeah, this is not the start or the guy that you should be expecting. He should be better than this. Lance Lynn against the Marlins, 4.2 innings, 4 earned runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. This was PL Bot's stream pick of the day. I put Seth Lugo. By the way, they had Seth Lugo as a streamer just right underneath Lynn. Because, like, look, the Marlins offense is bad, and Lance Lynn could get a lot of strikeouts. And what do you know? That's what you got. 7 Ks, 14 whiffs, 31% CSW. It was just bad luck. Poor PL Bot, who's, I think, 6-2, and I'm 8-0, which is the funniest thing ever. Oh my gosh. It's going to be a fun year going against PL Bot. But Lance Lynn, yeah, I just don't really want to go after this. He will still have some strikeouts, but no, it's too risky overall, I think, for Lance Lynn. And obviously not Josiah Gray, 600 runs in 4.1 innings. Looking forward to today's games. Just kidding. Tomorrow, I got to get used to that. I will get used to it. I promise everyone. I'm remembering, right, we don't do today and we only do tomorrow. Tomorrow, Max Fried against Arizona. That isn't a clear ace is going to ace. You have Kevin Gausman against the Yankees. Sure, we're obviously aiming for that, even though it's going to be like 70 plus pitches or so. Like, it's not going to be fully stretched out, probably like 80. 5 innings should be expected for Gausman. It should be good. Yoshinobu Yamamoto against the Cubs. Ace is going to ace. Yes, he deserves that because he is that by default. Joe Ryan is getting close to that, and he has the Guardians. And just get the slider down, it should be great. And Michael King is also an auto start because it's the Giants. And he is not going to walk 7 batters again. That was such a weird, weird thing for Michael King. And it wasn't even like this massive scatter shot. It just wasn't nibbled well enough. And normally Michael King is way better than that. Seriously, you should still be very much in on Michael King. Probable starts, I mean, I'm tempted to even put Garrett Whitlock into the auto start because it's at the Angels and he looked great and had his extension back and everything's cool there. So we're a fan of that one, but obviously I understand one start and there's still a floor for Whitlock. So, okay. Against the Angels, Michael Wacha against the White Sox. That's a fantastic Toby with a good matchup. You have Bryce Miller in Miller Park. I'm not going to call it the other name. I should think like, oh, Miller Park is made for him. It's a tougher situation in Milwaukee is not the most ideal. And also Bryce Miller isn't fully polished quite yet, but I was encouraged by his last start, even though the result wasn't so great. I think he was looking like a more in control guy than we saw in previous years. There's still work to be done, but much more with a purpose than just scattershot. And that's pretty cool. Kenta Maeda against the Athletics. He's a cherry bomb with a super high strikeout upside against the Athletics and like not that bad of a floor. Obviously, there's still a bad floor for Maeda against any team. There's still a major league squad, the Athletics, but still, this is a matchup I think that's just too good. Also, a good win chance. Yeah, Tyler Wells against Pittsburgh. Again, a good win chance. Seems like a solid one there. You have on the other side of it is also Bailey Falter, which is just, oof, that makes the win chance even better. You have Ranger Suarez also with a good win chance against the Nationals with Patrick Corbin on the other side. So I'm okay with that. You have D'La Hall, who's acting like a Toby, but also I think he's a Toby who can really break out of that as the season goes on. He doesn't have as much of a drop in the four-seamer that AJ Puck does. That is, it is more of a flat four-seamer. It's still not as good as it was last year, but it's not such a departure. And I do think that D'La Hall generally is actually like throwing like a good pitcher with a purpose. So I think the D'La Hall is just going to get better as the season goes on and becomes more comfortable in the rotation. The Mariners are not a team that I'm afraid of. I think I'm going to go with this one. Clark Schmidt against the Jays. He survived the Astros. It's a decent win chance. The Jays are like hot and cold as an offense. So fine, I'm going to go with that one, but it's close to questionable. And same with Reed Detmers against Boston. It's a better four-seamer. And I feel like it's a case where you can pick him up for this and see how this goes. Because it's not just about a stream here. This might be something that does extend for a little bit longer, especially if he has good feel for that slider. I'm still worried about the whole arsenal and the whole command and everything like that, but 12 whiffs on his four-seamer against the Orioles is something that just makes it say, well, let's just give it a shot for one start and see where we are. Questionable starts, you have our stream pick of the day, which is Paul Blackburn. Very tempting to put him into the probable realm, but it's still Paul Blackburn at the end of the day, and then it's also the Tigers. So he's our stream pick of the day. You have Trevor Rogers against the Cardinals, who is almost in another tier because I liked where his changeup and slider was and also the fact that he was at 93, not 91, 92. At the same time, Trevor Rogers really hasn't had that de facto start that says, oh man, this guy is a guy that we're excited about. And I just want to be a little bit tepid until that happens. Also, the Cardinals have some moments, especially against lefties. So I'm going to put Trevor Rogers down here, even though Ryan Weathers just did well as a lefty. You have JP France against Texas. He survived the Yankees, and if he goes away from the four-seamer and leans more into everything else, especially the cutter, that could actually work out against a strong offense. You have Carlos Carrasco with a decent win chance against the Twins because he'll be able to go six innings. Nick Martinez the same way against the Mets. It's in Cincinnati, though, but hey, Martinez, just don't throw as many fastballs in the zone. Cool, great, thanks. And Steven Matz against the Marlins. He's still capable of going six frames and being productive, and the Marlins aren't too scary. And you have Brandon Pfaadt, who generally would be in the probable start tier, but he gets Atlanta. I was actually even tempted to put this in do not start because it's really just a sweeper. The four-seamer needs to be pristinely placed and the changeup, it goes in and out, and I feel like Matt Olson's just going to destroy him. I don't know. It's a little scary for me with Brandon Pfaadt against Atlanta. In the do not start tier, I was tempted to actually put Keaton Wynn in the other tier above, and I just want to see a little bit more. I don't think he has the best command. He survived the Dodgers like 300 runs, I believe it was, in five innings, and this is the Padres. Padres are good, and Keaton Wynn to me isn't this overwhelming great starter, but I could be wrong. He throws 96, not the best shape, but it's 96 with a splitter that he well commanded last time-ish. Ish. I want to say ish. It's a little bit weird, and I still just want to see a little bit more because I feel like the floor is bad here for Keaton Wynn against the Padres. Chris Flexen, at least against the Royals, but no. Jordan Wicks, oh, he's kind of interesting with that four-seamer, but it's the Dodgers, so I'm just not going to do that. Luis Severino at Cincinnati, just like he didn't look good at all in his last start, and now it's Cincinnati. John Gray against the Astros, velocity is down, and the slider is not looking very good against the Astros. Jake Irvin is against the Phils, no thank you. Tyler Alexander should have an opener in Coors. Ryan Falter is on the other side in Coors. And Bailey Falter, I don't know how long he's even going to go, and it's against the Orioles, and I don't want to do that. That is it for today. I do want to remind everybody that I do have another podcast today called the SP Fab Forecast that I look at this weekend's fab moves that you should be making in your 12 and 15 teamers. as well as looking at a sit start with the two-star pitchers for all of next week. It is a PL Pro exclusive podcast. You will see an article on the site that is behind the PL Pro paywall that will give you all the information that you need. In addition, you will have it inside of the PL Pro Discord. But it's one of those things that I wanted to, that I generally do for myself anyway. I'm not writing any words or anything like that. I feel comfortable making that as a podcast. But if you want to get my preview of Monday through Sunday, and who you should be going for in your Fab Leagues 15 and 12, I will have that podcast out generally by about 2 o'clock every single Friday. So look forward to that. That is it for today. I hope to see you at the meetup tomorrow. Oh boy! Pitchers meet at 4 p.m. at the Commissioner on Saturday. I've not promoted this at all. You should be there if you're in the New York City area. 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at the Commissioner in Park Slope, Brooklyn. Gonna be great. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.